Would you open your Bibles to our fall passage, which is Galatians 5, 22 and 23. These are the fruits of the Spirit, and they certainly do build on one another. Let's recite it together from verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Let's pray. Father, thank you once again for this beautiful, beautiful fall day, Lord. It's so beautiful. And we just thank you that we get to be in your house this morning. Think of David's words. I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to everything your Spirit is doing in our lives and will do. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name, saying amen. So, this morning we can continue in our fall sermon series on the fruits of the Spirit. This is in chapter 5 of Paul's letter to the Galatian Christians. And you'll remember we began the series with the first fruit of the Spirit, excuse me, which of course is love. Again, remember, biblical love is not about feelings. Biblical love is desiring or willing the good of another person without anything in return. Right? And remember, biblical love is a command. It's not a suggestion for the followers of Jesus. Matthew 22, well worth memorizing. You will love the Lord God with what? All your heart, all your soul, all your mind and your strength, and then you will love your neighbor just as you love yourself. Then we looked at the second fruit of the Spirit, which of course is joy, and we found this. We can remain joyful in life while not necessarily being happy in the moment. This is huge, right? How can this be? Joy, we defined, is a state of calm delight. Joy is solid. It rests on certain foundations, solid pillars, if you will. Humility, humor, forgiveness, gratitude, compassion, and generosity. And so all these sort of virtues, all these fruits, they start to sort of bleed together. We're trying to look at them individually, but eventually they start to influence one another. And then last week, of course, we looked at the third fruit of the Spirit, which is peace, right? And we discovered that biblical peace is not simply the absence of war. It is a state of wholesome well-being and rest, because biblical peace is God's shalom. That's the Old Testament Hebrew word, that well-being, that rest. It can only be found in Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. And so this morning we are focusing on the important idea or experience of patience, right? Another translation is forbearance, leading to resilience in our lives. And if we've learned anything over the past couple years, post-pandemic, that kind of thing, is that in general, people have become experts at flying off the handle. Have you noticed this? Right? Kind of like the time when a teacher was teaching a class of third graders and she noticed young Johnny fooling around with a yardstick. Do we still use these? Man, you do? Man, my dad had a box of these, let me tell you. It was old school. And Johnny was fooling around with a yardstick. And the teacher told Johnny, stop it. And he did. For a minute. And then Johnny started tapping his desk with the yardstick. And she got mad and she said, Johnny, knock it off. Well, 60 seconds later, Johnny began to poke the little girl in front of him, the desk in front of him. Johnny, I told you to stop playing with that yardstick, which he promptly did. But a minute later, Johnny actually had the nerve to poke his teacher with the yardstick. And by this time, she had had it, and she cried, that's it, I've had enough of your distractions, young man. What are you even measuring with that yardstick? To which Johnny calmly replied, I'm measuring your patience, ma'am. Yeah. You know, we'll just leave this here for good measure. Keep the honest people honest. Seriously, where do we go for patience and finding that patience to endure and outlast a world that seems to be out there to get us? What do we do in all those situations? One of the things that struck me right away was the NIV I did a little study, reworded the traditional word patience in its last printed edition, and added forbearance instead. And that's not wrong, but I was thinking about that this week, and it occurred to me that maybe, I don't know, but maybe one of the reasons the translators may have made that substitution is because the word patience may have a slightly negative tone or feel to it. Maybe, for some. Now, if you have been a follower of Jesus Christ for any amount of time, you know good and well that to ask God for patience is a daunting affair, right? Right? How many of us have cringed whenever we have heard a new Christian say, I'm praying that God gives me patience? Because how is patience acquired? Very, very simply, by going through more trials. But you got to go through them with the right attitude. That's the key part in the acquisition of patience and forbearance. Now, I noticed this week that the Bible talks a lot about patience and forbearance. It occurs at least 75 times in the scriptures. But what really struck me, and kind of alluding to the video this morning, the Old Testament original Hebrew, the word patience is an interesting word. Apf, right? And what's so interesting, I think, about that is that that's the Hebrew word for nose. I'm like, this really struck me this week. You see, in God's people in ancient times would measure their own as well as others' patience by the length and degree of heat in their nostrils. Isn't that crazy? It's a great idea. And so, you know, impatient people are like this. You know who they are, and you've been there. But God has the long nostrils, the cool long nostrils. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. And it got me thinking about sort of the really awesome Old Testament book of Jonah, right? Jonah, in that little book, he was hot-nosed and hot-headed. He wanted God to punish and even destroy the Assyrians for their brutality to God's people. Instead, what do we find? We find a God, that God is a God of long and cool nostrils, like a horse. You know, sometimes they just say, you know, just breathe, right? If we learn to breathe well, that will help us a lot, I think, right? It's hard to make God angry. He's filled with mercy and loving kindness, and so often does not treat us as our sins deserve. Now, New Testament Greek for patience, makrothumia, means long-suffering, forbearance. I found that really helpful this week, right? Thinking about this. Christian patience is probably more practical than I've probably realized or even imagined. And then I discovered that, you know, in the New Testament, 50% of all the occurrences of the word patience comes through the Apostle Paul, which tells us something about his personality and his faith, right? Paul knew incredible hardship, but that hardship produced in him great endurance and especially ongoing resilience. We need those trials to continue to help us grow in patience, and also that will produce in us, with the right attitude, the loving kindness of God. But we do know that impatient people not only harm themselves, but others as well. And you know, have you ever noticed that impatient people say a lot of dumb stuff? Just stupid stuff. It's just almost laughable, right? Kind of like the time when a man declared, ignorance is bliss and patience is a virtue, but only if you're dumb and don't mind waiting around. That's a very worldly approach, right? Or, patience is just what you have when there are too many witnesses around. You know it's true. You've thought it, don't lie. Or how about this? I had my patience tested today, but it came back negative. Right? Right. Couldn't we say that the Bible is filled with countless examples of the patience and forbearance of God? Right? And if real Christian love isn't really about feelings, but rather willing and desiring the good of another without expecting anything in return, isn't it clear that it will be near impossible for us to grow in patience if we make life all about ourselves? That's what the world is telling us. Advertising, that's our society. You know, this life is all about you. I hope not. What a small and boring story. Have you noticed that impatient people are nothing more than emotional and spiritual two-year-olds? Right? Come on. Right? What's the two words of two-year-olds? We know this. No and mine, right? Those are the go-to words and attitudes because they want life and the world to revolve around them. Oh, children are so innocent and sweet. Really? You raised a two-year-old? Right? Impatient people don't want to endure difficulties and hardships that have inevitably come with living a life in a fallen world filled with sinful people who, apart from the mercy and loving kindness of God, have hot noses and short fuses, right? In fact, when I consider all the sinful, selfish, and very impatient people contained in the Old Testament, I don't see an angry God smiting sinners. I see an incredibly patient and enduring God. Right? The Apostle Peter, what did he say? Meditating upon the return of Jesus Christ and the end of all time, he wrote in his second epistle, 3:9, he said, "The Lord is patient with you." Why? He doesn't want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. As it turns out, I think Paul placed patience as the fourth fruit of the Spirit for a very, very good reason. It is true, patience is a virtue. But I really thought about it this week. Its foundations are built on the first three fruits of the Spirit. I think sometimes we think of patience as sort of negative jaw clenching, like, you've been there, we've all been there, or white knuckling it, you know, in life, somehow that's patience. I don't think so. Patience is acquired through growth in love, again, that seeks the will and wills the good of another, through joy that is a sort of state of calm delight, through peace that pervades our entire being, through the indwelling of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace in us. But without a biblical love, without a biblical joy, without a biblical peace, there can be no growth in biblical patience and forbearance in our lives. Right? Remember this. We need to remember that loveless, joyless, hot-headed individuals can actually steal a portion of our growth in those precious fruits if we are not careful and forbearing as the followers of Jesus. Kind of like the time when a man boarded an airplane and he found himself sitting next to an impatient duck. A young stewardess came by and asked the man and the duck if they wanted anything to drink. The man politely said, "I would like a cup of coffee, please." While the rude little duck said, "Get me a beer, you old mule." Well, the poor stewardess was so shaken by the duck's behavior, she returned with his beer but completely forgot the man's coffee. "Excuse me," said the man, "you seem to have forgotten my coffee." "Yeah," screamed the impatient duck, "get this man his coffee, and while you're at it, get me another beer, you harebrained little girl." Again, the poor young lady was so taken aback by the rudeness of the duck that she brought him another beer but forgot the man's coffee once again. But unfortunately, the rude impatience of the duck had now rubbed off on the man. And he shouted, "Look here, you old cow, I politely asked twice, get me my coffee now." Don't ever say that to a server in a restaurant. They will do horrible things with your order. By then, the young stewardess had understandably lost all of her patience. She was madder than a wet cat. She kicked open the emergency door on the plane, exit door, and threw the man and the duck out of the plane. While they were falling and hurtling down to the ground through the air, the duck had recomposed himself and said to the man, "You know, you have a pretty big mouth for a guy who can't fly." Oh, patience. It is a virtue, right? Do you want more patience this fall season? It's really simple, like a lot of the fruits of the Spirit. The more you focus on Jesus, who was patient unto death on a cross, the more of his forbearance you will acquire in your life. And it will not only bless you, but it will bless everyone around you. The less you focus on Jesus Christ in your life, the less of his patient endurance that you will acquire and others will experience. That it's your choice, people. It is your personal choice. And so maybe patience is not such the slippery, tricky thing I thought it was. In this series, I've tried to offer a few takeaway points, and they're in the copies of the sermon, if that's helpful. Maybe these things will be helpful or go far to help you recover biblical patience and forbearance in your life this fall season. So first point I want to share. Biblical patience includes the ideas of forbearance and endurance, and it leads to the development of an invaluable resilience in our lives. You know, as things get easier, we have less resilience. Big surprise, right? It could be little things. Stop taking the easy way out, people. Take the stairs. Oh, there's an elevator there. So what? Do not drive around the Walmart parking lot looking for the closest space. And don't ever take a handicapped person's space, right? Not only is that against the law, it's just wrong. Go park at the end and walk. How about that? You probably need to move your body a little bit too, right? Just not to sound mean or hard or anything, but stop taking the easy way out. Usually doing the right thing is not the easy way, right? Correct? Biblical patience leads to resilience. We need that. Biblical patience in the Old Testament means having long and cool nostrils. What a great idea, right? Instead of a hot temper and a short fuse. And then finally, biblical patience rests on the foundations of unconditional love. The calm delight of joy, which is different than happiness. Happiness has to do with happenstance, and it can come and go, but you can have joy in the midst of trials, right? And a wholesome and pervading peaceful shalom that can only be truly experienced by being in right relationship with Jesus Christ, our Prince of Peace. Amen? Patience, forbearance, leading to resilience. This will utterly change your life and ministry as a Christian. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we confess before you. So often we're encouraged and even are impatient that we lack endurance in some of the most basic things, and we wonder why we are not resilient in the face of this world. Jesus, you were patient unto the cross. Your saints were patient and endured, Lord. They didn't take the easy way. They took the good way, the right way. And may we do the same as your followers, Jesus. Grant us, Lord, endurance, forbearance, leading to resilience. And we'll give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name, saying, amen.